fucking do it. Just get up and do it. That's my whole fucking message right now. Just get the fuck up and do it. Whatever it is you're wanting to do, if you are available to do it, stop saying tomorrow, stop saying the next day, stop saying all that bullshit. And it sucks with the COVID thing, you know, so I totally understand how frustrating that is. But the whole thing is just fucking get up and go. Like, I'm probably the last person to give advice on a lot of things in life, you know, because I don't, because I don't really think like most people do when it comes to certain things. But on everything though, I don't care what it is, I don't care what it is in life. This is probably the best advice for everybody, is just to pretend like you're going for the long game. No matter how fast or short fused anything is, you never know where you are. You never know how long you're going to be. It's going to be a long game. You know, it very well could be anything. I don't care if it's skateboarding at the end of the night and your mom was supposed to pick you up at 4 and here it is at 6 o'clock at night, or if you know, when you're a teenager, or if you're in Somalia and a Black Hawk goes down, it doesn't matter. Plan for the fucking long game. So now we're fired up. So friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, it's me, Josh O'Brien. I'm just here on the front porch doing a porch cast. We still don't have a studio home, and that's totally fine. You know, civilianization is still going on, and it's still going strong. Had somebody ask me a question about what do I mean when I say punk rock? Because I say that's punk rock, this is punk rock, or something like that a lot. And I don't mean it the way a lot of people do, because some people, they think when I say that's punk, they think I mean it's like against the rules or overthrowing the government or violent or Purple Mohawk or some shit. That's not what I mean at all. That's like the complete opposite of the spectrum of what I mean by that's fucking. What I mean is like, when I say that, I'm like, that's fucking punk, dude. I'm thinking more along the lines of, that's awesome that you got up and you did that yourself. You know, that means that there was a lot of networking that went on. So there was a lot of things that took place for you to do this, you know. But the number one thing out of all that is getting off your ass and doing it. I don't know how many times I've known of stories of bands where they just started playing instruments. They didn't even know how to fucking play the instrument. They just were like, I got something to say. I killed your baby today. That'd be the Misfits I'm quoting. But no, they just said, hey, man, I got to get up. I got to get the shit out. I got to go do something. You know, I don't know, maybe the Germs or something like that. Or Sex Pistols is a great example. I worked for Steve Jones, the guitarist for the Sex Pistols, for damn near 4 years. And one of the things with Steve, I'm not suggesting everybody do speed, but what he did was he knew that he had a lot of shit to get done in a little bit of time. So they just did a fuck ton of, he just did a fuck ton of speed, play guitar over and over again, and just tried to learn chords and learn riffs and then create riffs. And then next thing you know, you have Nevermind the Bollocks. Here's the Sex Pistols. You know, Matlock was a part of it too, of course, but really, I mean, if it wasn't for getting up to do that, you know. And then, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, I got a buddy of mine, Steve Miller, not that Steve Miller, Steve Miller, he's a writer, but when he was younger, he was punk rock, he was in bands around Detroit and stuff like that, and his best friend is Tesco V with the Meat Men, and he was telling me a good story, and it's previously on here. I think the episode was called Detroit Rock City, but so you don't have to dig for 5-6 years of podcasts. That's what he used to do. He used to talk to some of the guys from Black Flag, and they had a list of like all of the places that had clubs, you know, that would let you play. And then like some of these places are pretty violent and stuff like that. And they weren't too happy with outsiders coming in and doing punk rock or whatever. And that's where, you know, that whole sheet of, hey, this club's cool, this place will, you can stay on the couch here, and that kind of stuff. And that's where I was like, man. So when we were going through Iraq and going through, you know, we were the road crew, like Motorhead song, really, man. We went from, I pretty much, like, most of my shit would stay on base in in Fallujah. But like a lot of times I'd be on a different fob, or if you're not familiar with that, it's just basically a little bass in the middle of fucking nowhere is what a fob is, you know? And you're, and you, and it was like, there it's kind of like the same thing. You're like, hey man, if you go to Altacatum, go to TQ, there's like an engineer village, and like you stay in engineer village, I think one of the battalions were there, I think, you know, and they'll help you out, the CB battalions, and you have all the other people in that whole area, and that's where that was like, oh, this is so punk, man, because a lot of times you'll have that. And then that's why when it comes to stand-up comedy right now, it's so like kind of, it's kind of like punk rock right now in a sense, because everybody has to do shit like underground. There's like so many things that you can't just like go and fucking do, especially with like with the COVID-19 and the politics and all that other shit. And I'm not going to get into the politics, and I'm not going to get into the COVID-19, because realistically to me, it sounds like two drunk people arguing about their favorite fucking quarterback on two teams that are in a parallel league, you know, so, or not parallel league, a fucking, what's that shit called? A parody league, like two teams in a parody league. It's the same shit. Just both teams are different. And that's like, different names, but I don't want to get down that route because it'll just turn into a lot of hate. And, that's another reason why I won't say never, but I do my best not to bring up politics when I talk about this, because I'm very respectful on both sides. I, as far as people goes, you know, it doesn't matter what I believe. It matters that the people I love and know, they have their belief, and God bless them. More power to you. That's why we fought. So like, you know, it's part of it, whether you like it or not. You know, so what we got coming in, you can't say bomb on an airport airplane. Yeah, you can go. Okay, somebody watched a movie recently. So anyway, I have no idea what the fuck you mean by that. But anyways, losing my train of thought. But yeah, it goes back to the whole thing. Like I was saying, like that's fucking punk, man. And then, because I said that a couple times, it's kind of like just doing this right here. I mean, like, I miss sitting down. I loved having, you know, the Comedy Store. God bless them. I fucking miss that place. Oh yeah, by the way, my neighbor's got dogs. but like, I miss the Comedy Store. God bless them and stuff like that. And I miss being able to record in that studio. Here I am on my front porch, and it's like, you can't get more punk rock than this shit. It's just like trying to find a place to practice your band, to practice or do that kind of shit. And so here we are, which brings me to saying thank you to all of you guys and gals that are listening. We're number 16. I did not even know there was I didn't even know there was a list of podcasts for veterans, but I guess Podcast Magazine voted, you guys voted me and whoever the guests are, at number 16 out of veterans, and that, I appreciate that. It's hard to beat the king, which is Jocko, and fuck, which is cool, good company, you know. So like, just and was it? So like I say, saying these things are punk. He would be, Jocko would be like, you know, as veterans go, he's like Henry Rollins. He is the Rollins. I'm like Fat Mike from No Effects. You know, I see some jokes that do offend some people, and it gets taken the wrong way. Sometimes I'm just trying to be funny. Yeah, that better describes me. And then he's Monday. Sup, y'all? You know, he's Jocko, and which is really cool, because if you ever listen to that podcast, and here I am deflecting everybody to go somewhere else. No, but if you ever listen, he gives a lot of love to CBs, you know. And the cool thing about that with a lot of people forget who puts down a lot of the work, you know. A lot of people forget. I mean, we're not like, the problem is we could go into a bad place. We don't kick in doors per se usually and go after the bad guy. That's somebody totally, you know, that's a whole nother thing. The thing is we're pouring fucking concrete. You ever watch ice hockey fights, and you got the two guys fighting, and then sometimes there's the one guy who's trying to split the two guys up, That's us. We're like the guy that's, you know, we're friends with the guy who got traded. Now he's on the other team. Nah, just kidding. We're never friends with the enemy. But it's like we're just in between. We're like trying to pull, you know, we're the guy in between that they're punching over top of. Like that's like this is us pouring concrete. This is the Navy SEALs and Marine Corps hitting the other guys over your head. That's the easiest way to describe it. Fucking. And that's us. We're in the middle of the shit. You know, shit's going down. I mean, like, fucking, what, Christy Thrift, Andy Buggs, people I love, family, basically. Those were the CBs that were supporting fucking Jocko. So when he talks about Ramadi and the Battle of Ramadi and all that other stuff and Task Force Bruiser and our Task Unit Bruiser and all that other cool shit, those are the CBs that were there. And he gives a lot of love to us, man, which is fucking cool. So, tip of the cap. And it's funny because I don't think he even knows my name. But I know it's like anywhere else. So I fist bumped the dude a few times in the field. But it is what it is, man. And that's a cool thing. Fuck it. But thank you guys, man. You know, putting Fat Mike, or me, Fat Josh, on a map. I didn't even know there was charted. So, another thing for me to start this whole thing off by saying, go get up and fucking do it. Is there's so many people that hit me up are like, hey man, I want to get into comedy and I want to do this, or I want to get into movies and I want to write scripts, or I want to do voiceover work, or, you know, and a lot of the stuff I've been doing, cause somebody hit me up like, how do I get into acting? Cause they saw me on Sex Life on Epix Network. But Dude, it all starts just getting up and going. It's like the gym. Like, I'm not like one of the best comics in the world by far, you know. So, but the thing is I'm as good as I put in. So, like, if I'm working my ass off and I'm doing a lot of writing, I'm fucking killing it. And especially if you're going up a lot, I know I am great. And if I'm not going up at all and I'm not writing, then I'm a slug. I'm just, you know, I'm a fucking, you know, sloth at it. You know, and I'm not moving. I'm not making any progression. So just like going to the gym or going to anything, just fucking get up and go like a skateboarder, man. It's just like when you know, it's one thing I loved about skateboarding is that, you know, as a kid, same thing as welding. Like I as a welder, a skateboarder, a comedian, an artist, you got to get up and you got to try. You got to put the work in. And then that's when you can land tricks. You can't just pick up ice skates and go and be like, I'm going to be the next Wayne Gretzky and never have ice skated before. You got to get up. You got to fall on your ass. You got to like practice. You got to figure out how to put, you know, first you got to figure out how to ice skate. Then you got to figure out how to shoot it. Then you have to figure out how to receive a pass. And then you got to figure out, you know, how to fucking go from there. It's just crazy. There's so much shit that goes into everything. Sorry, I got people walking back and forth, and I feel retarded because I'm sitting on my front porch like this with a microphone, like, hey, what's up? But so that's why it was a pause there for a second. But for real, man, it's just like if you're going to get into anything, the biggest thing is the hardest thing. The hardest thing is to start. You know what I mean? The hardest fucking thing is to start. Like, I am down 20-something pounds right now. The hardest thing for me to do is to start. You know, like, because you never look at the end. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. You never look at the journey. You just think about A and B. You never think about the time it takes to draw that fucking line from A to B, you know? And then it's so easy to get detoured. Maybe there's fucking bumps on the page, you know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is, but the whole thing is you got to fucking start. And then that's it. And instead of like beating yourself up over little things here and there, which it's very easy to do, you know, you gotta, and if you slip and you fall, I don't care if it's sobriety, comedy, anything, man, anything. If you slip, you got to get up, acknowledge that you fucked up, you know, brush yourself off. It's a bad trick. You didn't fucking land a troop you can't get through to. It doesn't matter. Don't give up on them. You know, you trip, you fall, you land on your fucking ass. You look at your board and wipe that blood off your fucking kneecap. You know, and then you go, and then when you land that trick and you have that scab, when you land and you fucking see that scab on your knee and you fucking did that shit, man, you fucking busted your ass. You did that pop, shove it, whatever it is. And that's it. That's the beauty of it. And I know it sounds like a long, boring description, but it's the truth, man. It's just like when you see that fucking hard work at the end of the day, you know, you're the only one to judge. I think the biggest thing for me as far as anything goes, whether and I learned this a long time ago, and I hope that this helps anybody out there, is when you realize that your biggest competitor is you. You know, like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, when I'm going up for, if I was going up for a Chiefs board, or if I was going up for anything, while I was going up for fucking third class, it didn't matter, man. I remember just as a fucking SWCN, steelworker constructionman, it's a Navy rank, E3 basically, going up for E4 just to be a petty officer third class. Like, my biggest drive was to know everything there was to know. So when I sat down, I did not have a fucking thing. I scored in the 99.8 percentile, some weird shit like that. Like, I fucking floored that test, man. I killed that shit. I picked it up my very first time. You know, and it took a little bit while for second and a few other things, but as far as, you know, I made first in under 10 years. The next 10 years, I stayed a first. But the thing was, it doesn't matter. Your biggest competition's you when it comes to a lot of things. And if you can just figure out how to be a better person than you were yesterday, today, that's going to carry you a long fucking way. And that's the same thing. So going back to the whole thing about how to be a comic, whatever, the whole thing is try to be a better you than you were yesterday. And that's it. If you're fucking writing, I don't care. Better steelworker. Same thing with welding. I fucking miss it. You know, like, not enough to, like, actually do it for a living again or anything like that. I'm too crazy to actually hold a real job, to be honest with you. But the thing is like, that's one thing I do miss. Like, when you're sitting up and you get in your booth and you fucking grind everything down, the metal, and you just look at it, and as a painter or a welder or anything, you're looking at basically a new canvas, and whatever you put on there, that's it. And it's funny because steelworkers talk about, like, our welders talk about, like, a roll of dimes knocked over and all this other shit. It's true, because, like, we take pride in what we do. We did this one thing, and then this one weld, and then you got to do another one, and then do another one. I don't care if you're a drywall or a mason or fucking a plumber or an electrician bending conduit, you're proud of this product that you just did. But the reason that you are proud of that isn't just because you just did an awesome thing right now. It's because of all the shit you went through to get there, man. It was like you had to bend like 5 million different pieces of rebar or 5 million different pieces of conduit to figure out how this is exactly how I'm supposed to do this process. This is exactly what I need to do. And it's just like that with anything. And I know I'm being very vague and with a wide range of things, but I'm trying to hit as many nerves, like good nerves, not the bad ones, like usual. No, I'm just trying to hit as many receptors as possible, saying that, look, man, whatever you set yourself out to do, put 100% into it. You know, I mean, sometimes everybody's like, what about your plan B? What about your plan B? What about your plan B? Well, here's the thing. If you wear a condom, you don't have to. Oh, never mind. Wrong plan B. All right. So the whole thing with plan B is sometimes, fuck it. Sometimes you just got to wing it. You know what I mean? And I know that's not a popular opinion, but a lot of times, man, if you're busy worried about fucking everything else, you're not putting 100% into one thing, you know? So you got to pick your fucking battles, you know, but it's never bad to have like an alternate route. Yeah. I know I just talked in a big circle right there, but I'm telling you, man, when it comes to certain things, you got to fucking go all in. I'm sorry. I keep getting distracted. I got all these fucking people walking back and forth, but whatever. Let's see here. Let me put Marita's on. Oh, let me get a put. Oh, dude, that is such a good idea. You know, my buddy just said, give her a plan B smoothie the next morning. Such a good idea. Who doesn't love smoothies? Am I right? So, I don't know. I'm saving myself for someday. I'm still a virgin, so I wouldn't know what to do. But shit, man. It's fun, man. It's a fun trip. Whether it be comedy, whether it be the military, but all that stuff, man. When it comes down to anything you put your mind to it, it's such a good payoff. Neighbor's dog's crazy. Just kidding. It's all good. Well, what you got? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the audio. I'm like, what? So, anyways. Well, the biggest thing I thought I was going to see a homeless person fight somebody for a second there. No, just walking by. The things with some of the homeless in LA is like, I think they have better living conditions than most regular people. I swear to God, these guys have some construction skills. It's just astronomical. They get like all this shit, like everything that's laid out of the house, dude, full bedrooms. So, I mean, they probably got better Wi-Fi than I have in that tent over there. I'm telling you. Any questions or concerns for me before I go on another rant? No? No? Okay. Well, anyways, back to what I was saying, though, man. Anything that's worth doing, it's worth doing right. You know, a lot of times, too, you'll see people show up, and I've done it. I hate to admit it, but, I mean, where I was just, like, thought that, oh, I got this. No problem. You know, and you got to do the work. It doesn't matter what it is, dude. If you're not putting the work in, you're only going to get out what you put in. You know, there's some people that just have natural talent and then they can do whatever. They can just pick up a guitar and play whatever chords they want, or, you know, fucking Wayne Gretzky shit where you're just like, oh man, dude came out of the vagina with the fucking ice skates on. I bet you that was a bloody birth. But anyways, like he came out and just ready to fucking go. You know what I'm saying? Stick everything. It's like, ah, you know, Stanley Cup. Man, can you imagine passing a Stanley Cup out of a vagina? That'd be crazy. But I'm telling you, man, the motherfucker was just born like that. And then you have those kind of people. And then you have people like, you know, Darren McCarty, or, you know, people that had to like work and bust their ass, you know, like Chris Draper or somebody like that. You're grinders. You don't have those. Not everybody's going to be one of those naturally born fucking best kick ass, top of the line ice hockey players of all time. You're going to have to go out there and reinvent yourself every couple of years, like, you know, fucking Curtis Joseph or Chris Osgood or somebody like that. Some goaltenders that had to figure out how to adapt to the new style of play. And that's just kind of how anything is, whether it's comedy, military, whatever. I know I'm going, what? So, uh-oh. All right, man. Anything else? No? No questions? Facts. Facts. Cool. Now, the other day, it was really cool. I haven't been back to the Comedy Store in a long time. And some of you guys probably seen me talk about this the other day, but I didn't put it on the podcast. It's the first time I've been back to the Comedy Store. So since COVID happened, what they did with LA, and a lot of other cities I'm sure are like this too, but they made it so like live performances cannot happen. There, you can't have X amount of people congregating in so much area. And I don't get it, because like there's the main room in that club is about the same size as the parking lot. It's probably smaller, but it just seems about the same size as the parking lot, you know? And it's like, you have this much square footage inside, but you can't do it outside. And the stage is far enough away, but there's no live entertainment. And one of the problems that happened too is, and that place saved my fucking life, man. So I got nothing but love for the Comedy Store. Is the thing is, with them shutting everything down, they're making everybody go outside. And the only time you can do anything is like somebody would be maybe inside telling jokes inside of a fucking window to people that are on the balcony. So like if you don't know, just think of an L shape, and then on the shape facing parallel the Sunset Boulevard, that's got a window, small bar, patio area, and then the one that's perpendicular to Sunset Boulevard, it's a parking lot, and that's where like people sit in the parking lot. And I don't see why the county was against having comics actually just do stand-up comedy in the fucking parking lot, whereas the city, West Hollywood, said, sure, fine, go for it. And the county was like, no, we're not having that. But the cool thing is, the person that's not here right now, Marty Yingling, because he's on the road, but the thing with Marty was saying is we're going to start doing shows at the VFW in Canoga Park, which we've got a chopper flying over, which I'm really looking forward to, you know? Hey Derek, if you're still listening, this reminds me of Okinawa, man. Hey Derek, if you're still listening, man, this reminds me of Okinawa. It was like every time in Okinawa we'd be sitting down, because it was like me and another cat, like I was we had two presidents basically, one for MS, one for association. And every time we were going to start passing some word, there'd be a fucking jet or a helicopter that flew right over top of us. Never failed. It was like, that's how you knew how to get a flyover. It was just start talking to somebody and something would fly over your head. So if you've been to or know what I'm talking about Camp Shields, Okinawa, you know I ain't wrong. But back to the whole thing I was saying is that live comedy, trying to do some good shit at the Canoga VFW. Which I'm really looking forward to because I miss that. That's been my lifeblood. Speaking of Okinawa, when I was there at Camp Shields, my doc, our lieutenant actually, he wasn't our corpsman. He was one of the LTs, and he was like, "Hey, SW1, that's my rank, or that's what my first name was in the military. Hey, SW1, come see me." So I did. I went down to the office and I explained what was going on. And he's like, maybe you should go see the head shrinker, basically. So I went and I saw the doc, the mental health specialist over on Camp Foster. So I get to Foster and I'm sitting down talking to the guy and, you know, come to find out that my entire problem revolved around not getting up and doing this, because this was my not this. I mean, doing stand-up comedy. I mean, and that's my fucking life. You know, before, I mean, it was weird because like when I was still in Virginia Beach, I was doing at least one to three shows a night, because you had there were clubs where you had like shows all over, you know, and you could do like one to three spots in a night. The most would be a three, but, and, sometimes if you're doing the Funny Bone, thanks to Rick, you know, I'd do a couple shows, the Funny Bone, and then. That's great. Oh, I got a cat puking in the driveway. Well, and I know what cats puking. Oh, it's so gross. Wow. Anyways, so that is nasty. I just watched a cat just hurl all over the driveway. Oh, I don't know if we can pick it up in the background. But, you know, that reminds me of the way this UT1 used to laugh. You know, so anyways. What the fuck we're talking about? I got distracted by cat puke. Stand-up comedy, man. So, yeah, so I was talking to the mental health specialist, and they're like, hey, you know, you should probably, you know, figure out a way to do it. So I did was, there's a place called The Jet. So if you're in Okinawa, or you go to Okinawa on vacation, but if you're there on Camp Shields or, you know, Navy, CBs, Air Force, if you're on Kadena or whatever, there's a place called The Jet, and it's right outside Gate 2, and it's on the, like, if you're going straight out Gate 2, it's on the left-hand side, and it's actually a stairwell that takes you all the way up to get into this place, and the thing I loved about it was they had these bands, they were Japanese dudes, but they sounded American as fuck, and they were great. They were killing it. It was, like, one of my favorite bands there, they were pretty much just a big-ass cover band, but they killed it. What's up, Spaz? Hey, everybody wants Spaz. I'm going. All right, go ahead. Go on. You going in? Fucking cats, man. All right. Well, Spaz didn't make an appearance, but he was down here. I don't know if you've seen him. But anyway, so the jet right outside gate two, awesome. Like in between, I was like, hey, could I go up like in between while you guys took a break? And that's what they would let me do. They would let me fucking tell jokes in between. And it was cool because like most people there didn't go to see comedians. They don't give a fuck about comedy. But what they did was, they were just like receptive. And what they did, not all of them, but they had like all, you had most of the people there go to see a band. They go to get drunk. They have some fun. They talk shit. They scream and yell at their friend next to them while the band's playing and all that other stuff. So when they split and they went on their break, there, it's like a loud roar. But the cool thing was, is there were people that actually did like what I was doing. They did like what I was saying. So they did. They sat right. They come and they'd sit in the front and they would have a lot of fun, man. You know, so that was, what do you call it? The jet. And there's another car turn around here in the driveway. Porch casts are weird, man. You never know what's going to happen. I'll tell you what, though. I wish that car was coming back here again because it was good lighting. But anyways, so the jet, man. Yeah. Longest commercial ever for this place, I'm assuming. But that was really cool because, like, I think Bowler, one of the guys who was with me when... He was in my platoon when we were in Okinawa. He's like, yeah, I'll go. Because you have to have a liberty partner. You can't just go by yourself. And so initially, I had him go with me, which was cool. And then because you're supposed to, like, have a liberty partner. So that means you have to have somebody that goes with you everywhere you go, which really fucking sucked. And then what I would do is I got to the point where I realized that I could just leave and nobody would really give a fuck. Well, nobody would know because I wouldn't tell anybody. And that's the thing. You youngsters out there, fuck up. You tell people what you do. Don't. Not until you're old, fat, retired, and have a podcast. Then tell people what you do. But I would just leave. I had I wouldn't say girlfriend, but yeah, I would. I mean, I was dating this girl. She was like a freaking, she was a corporal. She made sergeant one. Marine, when I was there, God, she was beautiful. But and that was the thing too. I'd go see her. I would just leave the gate and I'd get a cab and I'd just go. I would never like log out. You might not see me for 2 days, but the thing was, you had a Liberty log. You're supposed to log where you're going all the time. And I'm like, I'm about to retire, man. I know it's like breaking rules and stuff like that, but there's a right way and a wrong way to break rules. You know, if you're going to do something, don't cause suspicion. You know, there's a family in Okinawa too that I did. And that's what taught me to break the fucking rules half the time, because there was a nice family there in Okinawa that was cool. And then, Mike, thank you, Mike. I met them in tap class, and then, you know, you're deployed, you got your friends that you're stationed with, then, you know, and you're still away from the family thing, around the whole family element. And I think that's a thing too, is like, if you're deployed and you're overseas somewhere and you have their permanent party, say if you're there for a permanent party, in other words, you're living there, you know, and you have people on deployments, which means they're not living there. They're just there for like a few months at a time. You know, anywhere from 1 to 6, 7 months, is that if you're permanent party somewhere, invite those fuckers over. You know what I mean? Have a barbecue. It makes them feel so much more like you're at home, and vice versa. Is like, you know, never forget those feelings, man, because when it's your turn and then you're permanent party somewhere, fucking have them come over. Somebody's TDY to your base or near your base, or, have them, you know, come over. Just get them out of the fucking barracks room, or get them out of the hotel for a little bit, you know. Get them some regular blood flowing through their veins versus the same humdrum bullshit that you can feel like you're stuck in sometimes. But so I'd hang out with my friend Mike and his family. And it's, and I pride myself on playing NHL 2K, not 2K, but the real NHL, like NHL whatever year, NHL 15, 16, NHL 16 that year. His son fucking smoked me, dude. I always thought I was good at that game. Son of a bitch. But his son would school me. But it was still good to, like, not the part about getting your ass kicked on a video game, but it was still good to be around like regular family, regular people, seeing families interact and stuff like that versus the typical hoorah muster and make it and muster and go to work and then, you know, the 9-to-5 grind of a deployment. You know, so that's cool. I mean, you don't get that in the desert, but a lot, you're not always going to desert deployments. You know, a lot of times you're going to Okinawa or Guam or well, not in Puerto Rico anymore, but I'm starting to list off my places. I'm dating myself. We don't go to Puerto Rico at all, unless there's a hurricane. But yeah, good shit. At the end of the day, man, your mental health is what really dictates a lot of things in life. Like, if you're not in a good headspace, try to figure out how to get there. And then, you know, if it's that you have to do something like comedy or be a musician or whatever it is, stop thinking about doing that tomorrow. Stop, man. Don't fucking, the biggest lie you can tell you is later. That's the biggest fucking lie, man. The second you start saying later, that's, it's never going to fucking happen. Like, tomorrow, later, I'll get that, get around. No, fucking do that shit. If you have an idea on what to do, write it down right now, man. I don't know how many times I thought of something funny, and I'm like, I'll write that down in a little bit, you know, and I'm like, God damn it. And then I go to actually write it down and be like, what the fuck was I thinking? Oh, God damn it. I just thought I lost my entire joke. You know, and it's the same thing with any kind of planning, anything. Like, if you're thinking about doing drywall, how to, like, do a certain type of fucking rafter or something. I don't know. But that's the biggest thing that you can lie to yourself about. Later, later, later. Do it later. I really want to go whitewater rafting, but we'll do it later. Well, you know, put down the plan. Now, I'm not saying you can do everything right now, but at least write down the plan, man. You know, so you don't forget about that shit. But anyways, Okinawa, good times, man. That was like a complete circuit too. My very first deployment was there. My very last deployment was there, you know? And, so Pete, Boner, as we call him, my last deployment there was cool. Cause like, I got a chance to drive all the way out to the Owosse Seawall, which, a couple guests I've had on here before were there. Like Marty used to come. He was like our operations chief for the company, so he'd come out and then fuck with us a little bit, stuff like that. You know, he wouldn't do real work while he was out there, but you know, because it's a chief, just fucking busting his balls if he's watching. But anyways, no. But like, yeah, Schmitty bust his ass. He wouldn't bust his ass either. No, he'd just tell people what to do. But either way, you'd still have Foster would bust his, no, but Foster would just tell us what to do. But anyways, you had some really good fucking people out there that were ball busters and, the best job I've ever been on, really. And then it was also my first and, like I said, last deployment. I had a chance to do a full circle, to check that place out, man. If we had wrote half the shit down in Puerto Rico, Gene Schaefer, man, Schaefer dog. We had a, like, and every branch of service you have, like, different, what do you call it? Gene Schaefer is a guy who popped up on the Facebook feed. So, like, I know if you're listening to the podcast itself, you're like, what the fuck are you blabbing about now? But on the thing, wrote some of the shit down in Puerto Rico. God, Puerto Rico was fun. The thing is, too, is, like, every mess or association or whatever military branch you're in, there's like a group, like within that pay grade, they hang out together. Like, you have the first class mess, the chief's mess, the wardroom for the officers, you have all that other shit. And then what Schaefer and I and a couple other people were a part of was the third class mess. See, I wasn't even a petty officer yet at the time, that deployment, but we took two picnic tables and we put them together, and it was usually Gene, me, Isaac Baca, Skippy Vaness, sometimes Gabe Garcia. There's a few other people that come and hang out. But we just drank fucking at least a gallon of rum a night. And then every once in a while, the fucking package store would have, like, beers, and they, like, these beers are like $5 for a case or something like that, or I don't remember. It was some obscure weird thing, and then they were stale, I guess. I don't know, beer could get stale or it was past the sell date. So like $1 a case or some weird shit like that. So you would see people taking dollies from work, you know, and then fucking go over there, and it looked like people were just moving because it was just like a full dolly of nothing but cases of beer just going from the package store on one part of Camp Moskrip to the whole other part of Camp Moskrip, because the package store was on one end and our barracks were on the whole other end, man. Oh, man. I can just think about the smell, because it was sometimes smelled really good, that place. And then the humidity and the fucking loneliness and bravado of that goddamn camp, man. But I miss that shit. It's crazy, too, because, like, you ever feel like you lost your, like, when people are like, hey, man, what are they going to do, take my birthday away from me? Well, I kind of felt that way in a weird way. Like, I've actually seen people that did lose their birthday, like, legit, went over the international dateline, and they've lost their fucking birthday. But no, I felt like, I felt kind of ripped off because I turned 21 in Puerto Rico, where the legal drinking age is 18. So it was just like, oh, that's great. Puerto Rico, good times, Mr. Gene Schaefer. Are you in Columbus, man? So, like, hit me up if you're still in Ohio, Columbus or Ohio or whatever. Does this thing, oh, does this do something? I guess that does it. Because I'm thinking about going back for the holidays, man. Like, I might end up going back to Ohio for Thanksgiving, drive across country. And it'd be cool if I do, because I always, like, that's one thing that you and I have, if you know, is that no matter where you go now, you know somebody that lives in that city. And I'm fucking very grateful to you guys, because whenever I go to some, I don't care what city I go to, there's at least 2-3 people that show up to a comedy show or whatever. Like last year I did that trip with Madonia and Willie Hunter. And it seemed like almost every place we went, I'd say half the places we went, people showed up, and it was like, oh, fuck yeah, you know? So, oh, good, you're still in Columbus, dude. My dad, just so you guys know, if you didn't know, I didn't really talk much about it because I didn't want the sympathy, but my dad had cancer, and he went through a lot of chemo treatments, and he did all his chemo at Columbus, you know, and at Columbus, right by the stadium, that hospital at Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University, pardon me. And, you know, his chemo got taken care or took care of the cancer and all that other shit. So that's cool. But I was down there for a quick visit in and out. That's why I was down in Columbus. And that's what I was wondering, because I'll swing through. So you're there to stay. Cool, man. Inbox me your phone number, will you? Because, like, I would love to see you when I get down. Dude, I'd do one of these with you. I'd love to just shoot the shit, man. Grab some microphones. Talk about the good old days. We'll make fun of Marty Yingling because he's not there and it's easy to make fun of, because if nobody's there, then, you know, that's cool. But show me what you got. We used to, like, this is the dumbest shit. We got drunk every fucking night. Sometimes fights would happen. You know, a lot of shit talk would happen. Sometimes the world's biggest slingshot water balloon fights would happen. Sometimes people would get shot in the foot with a spear gun underwater. oh, man. Shit. Oh, Brian Ebel. He was another one. McClung would come down every once in a while. But there was, I'm just thinking about other random people that would hang with us. But yeah, you never knew what the fuck was going to happen at the mess. So it'd be cool to fucking have you and just shoot the shit with you, man. So, yeah, man. What do you guys want to talk about? I always hated that when people were like, hey, what do you guys want to talk about? So, but that's one thing, I guess what I was trying to say is, like, you go cross country no matter where you go. It's a beautiful thing that you can run into somebody that you've served with, you know. And another thing I found quite valuable, too, is that back to the whole mental health thing, is that when you just reach out and you talk to a couple of vets or a buddy or somebody you served with before, you can feel that value back in your life. You're like, oh shit, you know, like I did something cool once. Not that you're not doing anything cool now, you're just doing something different now. You know, it's just that shit you did while you were on active duty in the military, deployed somewhere, that was the biggest thing in your life at the time, because, you know, shit's going on. Sometimes, I mean, for us in, you know, Puerto Rico, the construction was the biggest thing, you know. For us in Iraq, it was living through the day. That could have been the biggest thing, but that goes back to the whole thing of communicating with people that you've been through some shit with, you know. And a lot of times it might help you, might help them out, that they just have somebody to talk to, you know what I mean? And it's like, and you go back and you remember like a lot of that, and you're like, oh my God, you know. I'm not saying you don't feel like you have meaning now, but it's really, really cool. For the cancer hospital is the gym. Okay. Yeah. The big ass building right there. That's the one, that big cancer building or whatever. I think it was like a fourth, fifth floor. I don't know. But back to the thing about not the cancer, the cancer of your mind, my mind, is the cancer in our minds is just the shit that tells us that we're not good enough or we're useless now, you know. And it's not. You're not useless. You're definitely good enough. You just got to go through that bullshit of like figuring out who you are now. And that transition from being a vet, being like the guy people call, the command's calling you all the time, being that person, to being just a regular everyday person. Sorry, my fucking thing started popping up on the. You gotta love Facebook Live and your phone starts kicking stupid shit at you. You know what I'm saying? All right, back to the whole thing I was talking about. A lot of times when you get out, you separate and you're away from all that other shit, you don't realize that you did really meaningful, impactful things because you just did your job. You know, you just did the fucking right thing on that day. On a Tuesday in June of fucking 20, whatever year, you did the right thing. That's it. But on that day, you did the right thing. You did that right thing for a troop. And that troop never forgot that shit. And that meant something to that troop forever. And that will mean something to that person forever. And then they'd go and they do something for another troop some other day because they're just doing the right thing. And then you'll have that troop contact you years later. And you only remember a Tuesday in 2000, whatever the fuck. You only remember that thing you did. But it's such a good feeling to have that fucking full circle come through. And it's also good to know that, you know, you're very impactful on people's lives. And, you know, that's one of the things why it's important to communicate with folks, man, especially when you're done and out. Cause you don't know where somebody's headspace is on the other end of that phone or whatever, man. Contact people, man. They might need to hear that shit, you know, or you might not realize how good it would be to talk to somebody you've served with before, you know, and, just so many fucking suicides, man. Like, my boy, Freddie Lockhart, a stand-up comic. He's probably one of my best friends right now, you know. Like, I'm at his house a lot. We shoot the shit, hang, watch Full Metal Jacket, like, probably once a week together. And his wife adopted me. And the thing with, he was on a couple episodes back, like three episodes back, four, whatever. But, we're talking about this show. There's a show, it's like, 60 days in or whatever, it's like on A&E, and like these dudes, you get locked up, and it's basically like a reality show, like you're inside jail, right? And then there's a dude on there, he was a Marine, you know, loved the Marine Corps. Nate was his name, yeah, Nate Dog, whatever, and they called him White Mike when he was playing basketball and all this other shit. A veteran, and I'm like, oh, this is cool, man. I'd love to have this dude on my podcast, and, you know, I'd love to shoot the shit with this cat when, you know, pass through, you know. I think, you know, he's in Michigan, which is great. And, come to find out he killed himself, you know, the other day. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, you know, it doesn't matter where you are with your fame, with where, what's going on in your life. You know, it's, you never really know who's going through some shit, you know, and that's the tough part. Yeah. And yeah, you're right, Gene. It is nice to know people still give a shit about you. You know what I mean? It's like one of those movies where you watch, like, oh my goodness, they still care. What? That's probably what, like, Stevie Nicks was like when, right now, because that dude with the skateboard was drinking freaking cranberry juice listening to Stevie Nicks. They're like, oh, people do still care about me. Yay. You know. So I don't know, man. Blabbing about nothing at this point. I just want to say thanks, man, for tuning in and checking out and all the other fun shit, man. If you got any more questions or concerns, let me know before I bounce. Because I'm going to do that in a minute. But, yeah, I will say thanks again, you know, for whatever the thing was. And Pete, for letting me know. Getting voted into some ranking thing and whatever for podcasts and shit. It's cool. And now, the rest of the story. All right. Well, folks, anything else? Going once, going twice. All right. So for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Obviously I want to say that. And, remember, keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos, man. Fuck them. Fuck them all. Fuck the bozos. And never forget, Obi, that's me, loves you. All right. Till next time.